Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode number 116. This week we are joined by the most incredible human, Soraya Lindsay. Soraya leads our Auckland Femi Friday Run community and has been part of Femi since we began in 2020. I was actually lucky enough to coach her in the early days and have seen her progression as a woman athlete over the years, and I could not be more proud. I personally feel like Soraya is the embodiment of Femi's ethos and is a truly sustainable, holistic runner. Soraya is also a mum to Henry, run community leader, a boss at work, and an all-round legend. I am so excited to hear more about your journey to get to this point, Soraya. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Oh my God, that was the best intro I have. Can you come and like say that to all of the people that I meet forever now?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
We can have it playing as like background music. I love it. No, I'm so excited to finally chat to you. And yeah, like I said before, you have been a massive part of Femi from the beginning. So It's about time we get you on the podcast.
I know. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I thought it'd be cool to take it way back, understand like your journey with running from a young queen all the way up until now. And, you know, have you always been involved with sport and specifically like running?
Yeah, I think I've kind of always really enjoyed running. When I was really, really young, like first year of primary school, did really well in cross country, but I was also doing gymnastics at the time. So that was sort of like my primary sport would be gymnastics. And then sort of as I moved through primary school, did both little athletics and gymnastics. And then as I sort of hit puberty around 11 and 12, had a few growth spurts and growth related injuries with gymnastics just because of the flexibility, and I grew really, really tall really quickly. And so made the decision to give up gymnastics and really found my passion in running. I grew up in a really small town in the Bay of Islands, so there wasn't really much coaching and support up there other than my high school sort of like PE teachers really. So sort of just leaned on them throughout high school and did well. I definitely think that I had a natural ability, which has really helped throughout basically my whole life with sporting. But my claim to fame was in high school. I won the regional 800 metres, which I'm never racing one again.
The 800 is, yeah, it is hard.
It is really hard. It's crazy to think, like, back in the day, I used to love 400, 800 and cross country. And now as an adult, I couldn't think of anything more difficult or intense than an 800 or 400 or doing cross country.
You were a sucker for punishment back then.
I know.
I love that. It's so cool to hear, you know, your journey with sport. And I'm not surprised you did gymnastics, because for those of you listening, Soraya actually did a little bit of steeplechase and dabbled in the steeplechase, and to my surprise was extremely flexible, and something you don't often see in runners. And do you think that comes, you know, from your gymnastics background?
Yeah, definitely. I remember the moment that I decided that I was going to do steeplechase. You were there. Mm-hmm. And it was after national road relays, and one of the other coaches, Paul, was like, "You're really flexible, you should do steeplechase." And I was like, "Okay, I'll do it." And then really leaned into it, fully committed, and really, really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised you enjoyed steeplechase when you say like 800. It's hard, because steeplechase is, you know, known to be one of the hardest events, adding a giant jump, you know, through, is it three or four times? Four times around the track.
There's 35 hurdles over 3K, and seven of them are water jumps.
Yeah, that's intense. I'd love to understand, you know, you talk about running as a young gal and then growing up, and it's always been a big part of your life. How has running impacted you over the years and helped shape who you are today?
Yeah, I definitely think that when I was younger, I really enjoyed it, but I also did a lot of really dumb things when it came to running. Like, I used it as a way to punish myself. I was definitely, definitely under fueling for all of my runs through my teenage years, and that left me with a really bad relationship with food, but it also left me with a really bad relationship with my body. And then I stopped running for a little while after I left high school, and then in between leaving high school and having my son, had a big break where I was still fairly active but wasn't running consistently or anything like that. And then after I had my son, Henry, who is 5, he's turning 6 in April, which blows my mind. But after having him, I sort of had a bit of a tough time in the early days and remembered that I did find some peace, some mental clarity and a little bit of freedom with my running as a younger woman, and sort of jumped straight back into it. And the first run I went on after I had Henry was horrific. Like, I think I ran like 1.5K. So much like emotion going through me, being, you know, this is the first time I've moved my body in any kind of way since having Henry, and everything had changed physically, emotionally, mentally. And then just, yeah, got home and felt absolutely incredible, like so amazing. That runner's high was so pure after such a journey that I'd been through and not having run for so long. I was like, yeah, wow, this is why people do it. This is why I remember loving it.
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped running since.
Cannot stop, eh? We love it so much. It sounds like you've had a lot of ups and downs with your running journey. When I said in the intro, the way that you train now is everything we want other women to benefit from, because I've coached you personally, but then I've also seen you training with the Femi app and helped you with that. And like, you have come so far. I remember the first time we talked on the phone, you were telling me that you just ran most of your runs as hard as you could, and you felt like, you know, you weren't seeing improvement as much as you would like.
Mm.
So how do you think you've changed since joining Femi in terms of like your approach to running versus the times you were getting back into it postpartum and after having Henry?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the education I have, like, around my own body as a female. Even after having Henry and going through the whole pregnancy and birth and postpartum experience, I was actually quite shocked at how little I learned about my body and my, you know, my hormone, you know, just the way my body moves and feels and all of that kind of stuff. Previous to having Henry, I was on the contraceptive pill. And after having him, I was really, really interested in trying to get my cycle regular and keep it natural. I didn't want any more intervention because I was just really interested in the way that my body functioned naturally. And I think after having Henry and the way I was running then, it was just like getting back into things and finding that love for it and moving my body. And I don't think I would necessarily change the way I did anything back then, because it sort of brought me to where I am now. And I definitely think there was that pivotal moment where I thought, okay, I am doing something wrong here. I am running as hard as I can. I can't run for more than like 5 or 6K flat out before I completely like bust a seam and can't run anymore. I definitely didn't know about the changes of like my stages in my cycle, how they affected my body. I would go for a run 1 week and feel phenomenal and just be like flying through the streets. And then the next week I would just feel like absolute trash, and I had no idea why. There was so much self-doubt around like, am I a bad runner? Like, why aren't I getting any better? That kind of thing. And then I found you guys and everything changed. And it's a tough pill to swallow when you have been running a certain pace for your runs and then to be told you have to slow down. Like, I fully understand that that is really hard to hear, but it is so important. And that was, I reckon that's probably the biggest thing that I did. That, and also making sure that I'm eating enough. Not only just to like survive and parent and function at work, but like to fuel myself as an athlete as well. Those two things have made probably the biggest impact on my running.
cannot agree with you more about, like, firstly, you wouldn't want to change anything about your experience because it teaches you so much, and like, you are the runner you are today because of what you went through then. So I completely agree, and I relate to that with, like, what Lids and I have built around Femi and all you incredible leaders and people that are part of Femi. We all have our own stories, which makes us passionate about this problem, and because we've been through this in our own ways. But what you were talking about before about slowing down, I remember we were working together for quite a while, and we were saying that for a while and being like, we do need to slow your easy runs down, we need to slow your easy run downs. And then you started to really do it, and you got a heart rate monitor, and you were like tapping into it, and you're running just like, got so much better after that
So
point.
much better, and it got better really quickly as well. And I think that's the other thing. Like, I know there's so many trends that you can focus on or hyperfixate on with your running, whether it's like staying in zone two or like heart rate training and blah 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 blah. There's so many different ways to look at it, and I think it's really easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing versus what is actually right for you. Like, every single human being has a different heart rate, and some person's easy run pace will be totally different to someone else, and that kind of thing. So there was also that, the aspect of stopping worrying what other people might think about what I was running, and just if I wanted to get better, I actually had to listen to what my coach, aka Esther the Queen, was telling me to do. And I remember when you told me to slow down, and before being coached through Femi, I was running like 4:20s for every single run, and then I'd slow down and I'd think that 4:40s was like jogging, and actually I needed to slow down to probably about 5:40 and start from there and incrementally get faster on my easy runs.
It can be a hard pill to swallow, and for people that also use hard training for mental health, it's like, oh, okay, I'm actually going for an easy jog today, and that's going to help me be a better runner, but it's not going to give me the same feeling as if I went into a really high intensity HIIT class or like my speed session. But if your goal is to become a better runner or healthier in your body, because we are talking a lot about it, Femi, looking after our hormones. And like, if you're smashing yourself every day, you're not going to be able to look after your hormones and recover well. So, like, there's so many aspects at play to actually take that step. And like you said before about your heart rate and everyone being individual, like Soraya went and did a full-on lactate threshold test and VO2 max test. So, we got her threshold level. So, we literally had the proof in front of us that she needed to slow down in her easy runs. She needed to do more of her tempo pace, so lactate threshold pace, in her training, and that proved to work so well for her. But I feel like if you're someone that pushes yourself all the time and you're not seeing your results that you want to see in running, this is probably very important for you to think about. And like Soraya said before, you slowed down over a minute in your easy.
I went down to like 6:10 pace, which also obviously not slow, but it was a very big difference between what I was doing previous to that. And
Yes.
I think just back on the, if you're training really hard out all the time and it will impact your hormones, the whole thing around me really wanting to change my cycle and keeping that natural after having Henry is because so many times it has been the first indicator that I'm doing something wrong. If I go, if I'm really, really stressed, if I've got like a big life event happen, or if I know for 2 or 3 weeks I'm not feeling great and I'm not eating as much as I normally do, or if I go through a bit of an increase in load in my training, my cycle will be late, or I will have, something happen in my cycle. And it's the first thing where I'm like, oh, okay, I usually get my period between 27 and 33 days, but it's 36 days, which is abnormal. So I need to do something different. I need to find out what's going on. Like, it's such a huge tool to have, and it's literally built into me naturally.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have menstrual cycles. We really are. As you say, it is an indicator if you track your cycle and you notice changes. Like, yeah, what am I doing here? Should I be fueling more, or should I take an extra week off running and take it easy and actually let my body recover? And I think that's something that I've seen with you over the years is your ability to now take rest. And I wanted to talk about this because You had probably the longest break you'd had for a while.
I
I think.
think since I started working with you guys.
Yeah. So that was probably like over 2, 3 years. You took like an actual really big break, and then you trained for the Auckland Half Marathon using the Femi app, and you ran a massive PB of 127. I wanted to just understand from your perspective how that rest prior to that training block and what you've learned over the last year, how that's impacted you and your mindset towards running and like rest.
I have always, and I hope I always will, have a really healthy relationship with running. And I know now that it's actually really, really important to listen to my body. And it got to the point before deciding to take a good solid chunk of time off that I was like, every run just feels heavy. I want to go for a run, but my body's just not in it, and I'm not in the mind space. And I sort of lacked that motivation to really train solidly towards the goal. And in that break, like, I wasn't just completely sedentary. I just ran as and when I wanted to. So I would do like a 5K or a 6K, no speed. Everything's really easy. Like, I would go to Femi on a Friday, hang out with the girls, and it was more about connection. And a lot of the runs that I did during that break were just, didn't have any headphones, just listened to my own thoughts, and was just really present with myself. And then I can't even remember when it was. It must have been about maybe 13 or 14 weeks out from Auckland Marathon. I was like, I really want to do it. With the coaching that I've done with Esther versus doing focuses through the Femi app, it's much the same because, I mean, everything's written by Esther. So she was like, just do this and then we can check in week on week. And I was like, yep, perfect, no worries. And it was the most exciting thing after having so much time off to be like, oh my God, I get to use something new. Like, I get to, set up the app and put all of the stuff that I want to do and have it spit out all of these really personalized sessions every week and all of that kind of stuff. And the thing that I was probably most impressed by was that, and this is sort of going off on a completely different tangent, but there were a couple of weeks in the beginning there getting back into things that, like, I had a slightly longer cycle. And the app adjusted my speed sessions according to where I was in my cycle. And I was like, oh my God, it's listening to me. It knows what I need. Like, this is amazing.
I love that. What's special about Femi is that, yeah, exactly that, right? Depending on where you are in your cycle and if it's late, we're going to reduce the intensity to align to your hormones. And, if it's late, something's probably going on. You might be feeling a bit extra PMSy because you've had some stressful life event and you look at your program and it's a much easier run or your long run pace has changed and it's reduced. Like, it just takes that pressure off you. And it acts in a way that a coach would, like, well, hopefully, some coaches don't ask about cycles, but the good ones would adjust your training, based on how you're feeling. So, yeah, it's really cool that you enjoyed that. It was so cool to watch you train throughout that block.
Well, that was like, I've said this so many times, but I went into that block with some really, really big, like, ambitious goals. And one of my favorite, like, just favorite things that have spat out from my brain is having ambitious goals but holding them really loosely. I have really big goals for my running, and I have really big goals for my life and every different aspect of it, but I hold them really loosely because I know that I will achieve them. I just don't know when. And with that 12 rep block that I had for the Auckland Marathon, I loved every single run. I did not skip a single run. I felt strong. I felt so fast by the end of it. I couldn't believe how much improvement I had after coming off like a massive break. And it was just testament to the fact that I really did need that break, and I needed that time off from my body to absorb the training block that I'd done previously. And again, with that kind of thing, I think everyone else, similar to the heart rate, everyone and absorbs training differently. So some people may need a week or 2 weeks after a race. Some people may need a month. I took longer than that, like, and it's not going to make you a worse athlete in the long run by taking time for your body to do what it needs to do. And yet, the biggest win for me with that 12-week block was actually the training, and the love that I had for it, and like, you know, doing the speed sessions with the girls on a Tuesday, made so many new friends, and like supporting them, cheering them on, like we're still doing it on a Tuesday afternoon, and it's so epic to see this group of really speedy, strong women like cheer each other on. And then after the 12 weeks, after I ran a PB of 127, the Auckland half marathon, that just felt like the cherry on the top for the 12 weeks. And I then took 2.5 months off any kind of running again. So, yeah, I think after having the 12 weeks in the race, and then I tried to get back into running, and my heart rate was really, really high, and I knew something wasn't quite right. And I just thought, okay, well, now's not the time. I spoke to Esther, and we both agreed to sort of just push out starting any new focus for a while. And then it was Christmas, and then it was January. And again, just, you know, easy runs here and there, no plan, no real purpose with it, just doing it because I felt like it. And I'm now, I think I'm week four into a 10-week focus again. And the same thing, like feeling great, loving it.
Mm-hmm. And how quickly you notice those first few weeks getting back into it, and then now week four, how quickly you've just gotten back into the groove because you actually gave your body the time to rest. And hearing from the best of the best queens out there, there's an incredible lady called Lisa Waitman over in Australia, who's like one of the fastest marathon runners of like all time. She's incredible, like 2:22 or something insane. I'm pretty sure she talks about having a full 4 weeks off after marathons. Like she does not run for 4 weeks. Yeah. And same with Ruth Croft, who's one of the best trail runners in the world. She takes a month off every year where she just goes and does yoga and doesn't run at all. And there is this ingrained sense of like guilt and worry to take rest. But I think it just shows you're doing it and how well you're running and how good you're feeling by actually listening to your body. And then you've got some other incredible athletes out there who are also doing that. So I think it is it's a real journey though to get to that point, hey, and actually be okay to take that journey.
Oh yeah. I mean, like a year ago, 18 months ago, I would have been like, oh my God, I've not run for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? You know, like I was really worried about how my mental health would be impacted by not running for 2 weeks. But I can run if I want to. I'm not injured. I am healthy. Everything's good. I just need to give my body a break because I've just put it through 12 weeks of a lot. And it was a lot. Like, I think my biggest week in that block was nearly 90Ks, which for me is huge. I also think that, like, coming back into it, there is a time and a place for rest. But that one of the things that I'm really trying to focus on now is being consistent. Because after coming off such a big break, I'm like, oh, I can just take a day off. It's no problems. But then reminding myself that actually I do need to stick to the focus that I'm in now if I do want, you know, if I want to do well with the goals that I have.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah. We're not saying don't run and rest all the time, because unfortunately you won't probably get what you want out of running. But yeah, there is a fine balance, right? You still want to train hard and you still want to be consistent and push yourself. But if your body's screaming out for a break, or if you're smashing yourself every day and not getting any better, like, let's approach it a little bit different. But yeah, it is a fine art getting it right.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. And I got one last question about your running in particular. I'm sure we'll be talking about running for the rest of the podcast, but what's your big goals for 2025?
First and foremost, I would like to have fun with every block that I do. I think that's the new number one. That's the A goal, is to just like be consistent and have a really good time. And I'm a firm believer that if you have fun with what you're doing and you stay like consistent and you stick to your plans, you will get your time-based goals. And I've learned that the hard way, where I have had a really rough build up to a race, had a really aggressive mindset, not reached my goal and been really disappointed. 5 weeks later, thought, screw this, I'm going to have fun with it instead, and broke the goal that I wanted to achieve. And since then, I've been like, oh, well, I'll have fun and hope for the best.
It's crazy though, right? Like, that mindset can change everything.
Yeah. So a goal is always to have fun. I have got a couple of 10K races lined up that I would really love to do well in. I am doing one of them over in the Gold Coast in July, and that will be quite a special one because I'll be going over there. My sister's going to do the 10K as well, and my dad is going to be at the finish line, which will be really awesome. He's not seen me race in a really, really, really long time. So that will be probably quite a special one. And then I've got a half marathon in August that, again, it'll be, I'll be going down to see family, and hopefully racing with, some of my family. So that will be just, like keeping it light this year. I think I've had a couple of huge years and just bring back to the core reasons why I run.
I love it. It's really leaning on your catchphrase of have big goals but hold them loosely, right? You train hard, you do work hard, but like your ultimate goal is to have fun. And then no doubt you'll tick off those big hairy goals that you've got alongside that.
Yeah, like big hairy goals.
Yeah, big hairy goals.
I love that.
Yeah. I think that's such a cool mindset, though. It's so important.
Yeah, I agree. It's done wonders for me anyway.
Yeah. I know that I have generally run my best when I don't have pressure on myself. And when I do have pressure on myself, it kind of strips the fun away because you put so much into that one goal. And if you don't get it, you end up feeling like crap because you've put so much pressure on yourself to do it. But it's just not realistic. Like, I think you, how many times did you try to break 90 and a half? Was it 5 or 6 times or
I think it
something?
might have been 5 times.
5 times. Imagine if you'd every single time been like, I'm gonna do it, it's happening this time, and you didn't do it. I know you did that for a few of them and then you changed your mind. But like,
One time I changed my perspective, I ran under 90 minutes.
there you go. Like, we just need to be like kind to ourselves, right? And like, work hard and then it will eventually happen. It might not happen this time. It might not happen the next time. It will eventually happen.
Yeah, for sure.
We talked a little bit about Henry before, and but I want to go into your like pregnancy journey a little bit more. And I would love to understand like how your perspective changed to towards your body because it's a massive thing to go through. Your body no doubt changes a lot. I've personally not been through pregnancy, but I know from talking to women who have and people who have that it can be quite, confronting, having your body change. I just would love to understand, how your perspective about your body changed from prior to pregnancy, through pregnancy, and then beyond.
I think the beginning of my pregnancy and my relationship with my body is, yeah, it's pretty unique in the fact that I had an active eating disorder up until literally the day that I found out that I was pregnant, and I'd had that for many, many years. And so my relationship with myself and my body and food wasn't great. And then the day I found out that I was pregnant, it was like this weird switch just flipped. I knew that my relationship with food and my body was not good. Like, I knew it wasn't normal, and I knew that I had an issue that needed to be dealt with, but I was just really scared of how that process would look as, in terms of getting better and, healing that part of myself. The day I found out I was pregnant, everything changed, and it was like, imagine if my child thought about themselves the way I feel about myself, and it was just like, I can't do that anymore. The other part of that is I then had to not only think about myself, like I was immediately secondary. I needed to make sure that I was feeling this little tiny baby that I was growing. And it wasn't linear and it was really hard, but it immediately changed everything for me. Like, I've said this so many times, but you don't realize how selfless you actually can become until you become a mother. And like, it still blows me away how willing I was to just change something that had been ingrained in me for years and years, just to protect this tiny little baby that was inside of me. Throughout my pregnancy, I had pretty bad morning sickness. So I was throwing up a lot, felt really unwell. And so that sort of made, eating healthily and getting enough in quite difficult. And There were days in my pregnancy where I thought, oh my God, I can't wait to just fit into an old pair of jeans again. I just can't wait to like have my body back, or like, you know, those kinds of thoughts. And now I miss the feeling of getting the hiccups and like the first time I felt them kick and all of that kind of things. Like, it is such a beautiful experience. And it's one that I know that I'll cherish. And I love, oh God, here we go. I really love my body for what it's produced for me. Like, I have created this beautiful little boy, and he's the absolute light of my life. Oh my God, this is what happens when you're on day three of your period and you decide to do a podcast. Like, it's the most wild ride, and every single thing about you changes. Your brain rewires itself. I put a pause on my career. My mental health suffered, which we can go into as well, when I was pregnant. My body changed. Like, that's it. And you don't go back to that. There's no going back to who you were before. I am the best version of myself being a mother. Like, I'm stronger. I am more resilient. I am, like, so selfless. And I think he probably wouldn't agree with this, but I feel like I've got a lot more patience. And it's such an eye-opening, magical experience. Well, it was for me. It was also very difficult. I had a high-risk pregnancy. And so basically what happened is he didn't grow properly when he was in my tummy, because there was like a big knot growing or growth on his umbilical cord. So there was a lot of anxiety. And looking back now, I probably should have been actively trying to mitigate that when I was pregnant. It probably would have made my experience a lot better. I would have been a lot more gentle and a lot more kind to myself, I think, throughout the whole thing. And then after having Henry, like the whole breastfeeding thing was really difficult as well, in terms of, you know, some people say, oh, it helps you lose the weight really quickly, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm 6 years down the line, and there's so many things that are more important than fitting back into your old jeans or getting your body back or snapping back to what you were. Like, that's just, in that regard, I am incredibly proud of how much I've healed from going into the whole thing with an eating disorder and being spat out the other end with a really awesome relationship with my body.
That's actually incredible. Yeah.
Really, like, one extreme to another.
Yeah. Hearing that is, yeah, quite eye-opening in terms of your experience with pregnancy. But the narrative of snapping back after pregnancy, I think that's something that's ingrained in culture for women in society. I remember watching TV when the Spice Girls, Posh Spice, had a baby, and they were like weighing her. Maybe it was her. I'm probably absolutely telling this.
And they brought out the scales in the interview?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like, we wonder why snapping back and like getting back into shape is something that is really sought after pregnancy. But it's really cool to hear your perspective being so positive, and that your whole relationship with your body changed in such an incredible way.
Yeah, and like it wasn't linear. And there's still days where I think, oh God, like, I feel really uncomfortable, or I don't like the way that I look. But it's not like an ongoing thing, and I can remind myself that as soon as I start those thought processes, I'm like, oh fuck, who really cares? It's not the biggest problem that I have right now. And I definitely got caught into the whole snapping back after I'd had Henry. I remember fitting back into my jeans for the first time, and I was literally like sucking it in, like trying to get that button closed, and I got it closed, and I was like, oh my God, yay, I can wear my jeans again. Hindsight, should have just bought some new jeans. You know, like, there's so much pressure on us as mothers anyway, that we shouldn't be putting extra pressure on ourselves to look a certain way. It should be more about how we feel. We should be focusing on pelvic floor strength and deep core muscles and upper body strength and lower back strength, so that we can lift our babies and not get injured, and, you know, like, that kind of thing.
So much more important than the way we look. It's what FEMI stands for as well. Like, we're never talking and we're never focusing on weight when we're running.
No.
Because there's so many other things that can make you a better runner, and focusing on weight takes away from the joy. It makes exercise punishment. It's not part of making running a sustainable sport. Thank you so much for sharing so openly about your journey through pregnancy and your relationship with your body. You mentioned your mental health battles as well. I know you have been really open with that. I'd love to just hear more about what's your journey with your mental health been like.
Yeah. So I think obviously prior to having Henry and even going back into my teenage years, there was some things going on. Like I had an eating disorder. I was depressed. It wasn't a really awesome time for me in some of my most formative years. And then that kind of cascaded into pregnancy, where even though I had a much better relationship with my body, that kind of manifested in different ways in terms of like anxiety around whether or not I was going to be a good mother, whether my baby was going to be healthy. There was heaps of health anxiety around my pregnancy because I was high risk and he was a really, really little baby. And then there were some really, really dark days where I just thought, what? I remember just like bursting into tears one day and thinking, what if I wake up one day and I don't want to be a mother anymore? Like, what if that happens? And I remember being so petrified and just like, that felt like a really viable possibility at the time. And then I had Henry and, you know, there was the first 6 weeks or 3 months are tough. They were really tough. Henry was a very, very refluxy baby and he had reflux for his entire first year of life. I was quite young when I had him. I was 22, and so a lot of my friends were still doing 22-year-old things, and I had this brand new reality, which was really terrifying, and I didn't know how to navigate it, and I felt really alone, even though I had a really awesome support network. My mother-in-law, phenomenal, like, we'll never take that for granted. She was always there. Adam's, my partner's sister, was a huge support. My mum was a huge pillar for me to lean on as well. And I also had some friends who are still really, really dear friends to me now, who they were my village. And it really does take a village. It doesn't take a village necessarily to raise a child, but it does take a village to raise a mother. The first 8 months of Henry's life, I had postnatal depression and I had no idea. I just thought that was normal. And I thought, oh my God, this sucks. Like it manifested in a way where I loved Henry, but I just hated feeling like I wasn't a good mother. And I think I knew that I had done a good job as soon as he started to show his personality and I could see what an epic little dude he was. And that was when I was like, wow, Adam and I have done a phenomenal job raising this kid and he's so great. But before that, I had no idea. So yeah, I went undiagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety for 8 months. And as soon as I was told that how I was feeling wasn't normal, I immediately felt so much better because I was like, wow, there is actually hope that this isn't all going to be horrific for the next 25 years. So I was put on SSRIs pretty much immediately to try to just take the edge off, and went to see a postnatal psychologist, which again really helped. And I think it also made some of the really little problems that I had that felt like mountains, actually it allowed me to view them as the little problems that they were, and I could navigate them properly. And then be able to focus a lot more on enjoying my time as a mother. Yeah. Been a rocky road, but I'm doing better now.
Doing better. Yeah. Well, no, I love to hear that you're doing better. And I just can't imagine not knowing what you're going through and then suddenly having that realization that this is actually something that we can help you with. I'm sure that was a massive relief for you. My own personal mental health battles, like, I feel like I also for a while maybe didn't really realize what was happening, and then you do seek out that help and get help and you see that there is another side and you come through it. But no, I can't imagine going through that, especially at 22. It's very young.
Yeah. And I was freshly 22 as well. I turned 22 and then 2 weeks later I had Henry.
Wow.
Delayed birthday present. Yeah.
I've met little Henry and he's a little sweetheart. So yes, you're right. You've done an absolutely incredible job as a mother, and yeah, you manage so many things on top of that. And one of the things that I want to finish on is just chatting about community and your commitment to the run community. Like, I know right now, is Femi the only one you're working with at the moment, community-wise? Before, I feel like you were dabbling in like so many things. Any run community existing, Soraya was one of the leaders at them because she is like such a joy to be around. I feel like you create a really comfortable environment for the people that show up to run communities. What is it about them? Like, why are you so passionate about run communities and why do you want to be involved?
Well, I think first of all, for me, it was a really cool way to do something that I loved, and also meet people. I went to my first run club just after the first lockdown, when everyone decided that running was their new thing. And it was pretty terrifying going along by myself to a run club that was predominantly men at the time. And I had a really positive experience in that the first person who came up to talk to me was one of the guys who started the run club. And he made it me feel really comfortable and really at ease. And I thought, well, if he can do this to me, then I can do it to other people as well. Like, I can, invite other people into conversations and I can support other people and make them feel comfortable. And it really snowballed quite quickly. And I don't know how. But it just became a really big joy of mine to, like, yeah, give back to the community that gave me a lot in the beginning. So I started there, and then can I start talking about Femi now?
Of course you can, yeah.
So the Femi Auckland started off as like four or five women who were being coached through Femi. We all had like a 30-minute run on a Wednesday morning, and so we started a group chat, and we were like, "Oh, we'll just do it along West Haven." And it was really fun. We were at different levels, but it was really nice to run with a bunch of girls who were all doing the same sort of training and, had Femi as a familiar sort of pillar between all of us. And then because Melbourne was already an established run club, Esther said, "Well, why don't we just change our Wednesday to a Friday and we can make it a full run club?" And I thought, "Oh yeah, that sounds great. Like, sign me up." And then Esther moved to Tauranga and left me in charge.
I tend to do that. I did that in Mount Maunganui as well. I saw that one. I was like, hey, bye.
And I was like, all right, really leaned into it. And it has just been such an epic journey. What, we're nearly 4 years for Auckland. And I just want to say thank you for giving me that space to sort of cultivate and inspire and be inspired by the community that we have grown. And it is a fucking cool community. Like, it started off as a couple of gals, and some days there would be myself and one other in the early days, and then it just really took off. And I think the vibes that we've got there and the people that we have coming consistently are just so amazing. Like, I've met some of my very, very best friends through Femi. It's completely changed my life. Like, today's Femi Eve, so it's Thursday, and so like every Thursday I look forward to being able to go and see some of my friends and like meet new people and witness that really awesome like camaraderie between these women who come along. There's races throughout the year, and there's always a Femi person or a Femi athlete going to one of these races and seeing another Femi flag being flown. It's really awesome. So thanks for giving me some
Oh.
of my best friends.
No, thank you. I'm so glad that moment happened in terms of bringing us together and being like, yeah, let's do it in Auckland, and then leaving it in your incredibly capable hands alongside Katie and Laura and the woman there. It's just been awesome to see Auckland grow. Like, Auckland, I don't know, sometimes you're getting like 40 women there. Like, it's pretty huge now. And
On the
the cons
special events, we've had nearly like 100 people show up to some of them. Like, blows my mind to see how much we've grown. And I cannot believe how comfortable I am public speaking now.
Actually, though, throwing yourself at the deep end, eh? You're incredible at public speaking. You've done an amazing job The Auckland run community is thriving. And I think, like what you said in your first experience with that run leader coming directly up to you and making you feel seen and welcomed immediately is like one of the things that we're super passionate about. And one of the reasons why we started FEMI is that we want people to come and have that feeling and not feel like you're on the outs and you don't know people and you're nervous. Like, it takes a lot of bravery and courage to come to a run community. Some people show up by themselves. Like, that's so brave. And so to have someone like you and the other run leaders immediately bring them in and welcome them, like, that is exactly why Auckland thrives, is because that environment exists. So thank you.
Sometimes we don't even, it doesn't even need to be a run leader. Like, I have witnessed other members of the Auckland community go out and welcome a new person. Like, it's the ultimate we've done our job kind of vibe. Like, it's really awesome to see that's the energy that we've fostered, and the expectation is to just be welcoming. It's not just myself and the other run leaders, it's everyone who comes to FEMI Auckland.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see Auckland grow so much. I just want to thank you for all you do for FEMI, for all you have done for FEMI, for being so open and honest today, going into everything you've been through your eating disorders and mental health, and how running's impacted you so positively over the years. I'm just really grateful that you were so open with us in this conversation. So, yeah, just want to say a big thank you again to you.
Thank you for giving me the space to share a little bit of my story. It's one I love telling, and I hope that other people enjoy hearing as well.
Thank you everyone for listening. I will be tagging Queen Soraya in the show notes on Instagram, so go give her a follow. And if you've got any questions or queries or suggestions for the Femi Pod, hit us up at femi.co or flick us an email as well. But yeah, thank you so much for your time, Soraya, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you, sir.